Frank, welcome to the programme. You joined the Searchers in 1964. I guess you know what you're doing by now.
Yeah, it was August the 3rd, 1964. It's my 51st year this year, yeah.
So why the longevity? Why have you stayed so long? You must have really been enjoying it all these years.
Yeah, that's the main thing. The main thing why you stay together is because you like it. I mean, there are obviously at times during the career, there are definitely economic reasons. People have to work whether they like their job or not.
Yeah.
We're in the position that we like our job. It's been a long time now since I've had to work, though. I've been secure for a good number of years, so I don't actually have to do this for a living, but it's what I like doing as a living. It's pretty much of a privilege, really.
Going back to those very, very early years, were you aware at the time, were you and the rest of the band aware that you were taking part in probably one of the most influential and historic chapters in music history?
No, not at all. We knew it was big. I mean, no doubt about it. When the Beatles took over and kicked all the doors down so that we all got our chance, we knew that an explosion was happening. But you automatically think that these things are just, you know, one of these little blips in the entertainment world and it's going to all die down and become very kind of run-of-the-mill. But it wasn't. It just turned out to be the defining moment of British pop. So, no, I wish I could say that I mean, when I first saw the Beatles at the end of 62 in Hamburg, I knew they were exciting and they were pretty special in some kind of way. And I had the feeling they were going to have some kind of success, but I didn't see what kind of success they were going to have. And I certainly didn't think that they were going to be the one band that everyone looked up to and admired. Amazing.
Looking at the imagery from those years as well, I mean, obviously you mentioned the Beatles and Epstein was a big influence on the Beatles. Did you have a management team like that or were you in control?
We had a management team. I don't think they were like Brian Epstein. They weren't. I didn't admire our management team, I have to say. You know, he's no longer around.
Okay.
Tito Burns was. Actually, he wasn't our manager. He was, in fact, our agent. But he's one of the old school, you know. And I don't think the dealings were fair and honest. And it was, you know, a pretty bad situation to be in. But we were novices. You know, it was a learning curve.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
The price of an education.
Have you ever really worked out why that Merseybeat sound was so successful? It's a difficult question.
No, not at all. Well, it was going away from the current trend of pop music that was around at the time. There's no doubt about that. I just didn't realise why it was so exciting, so successful. It was like the band I was in. I was in Cliff Bennett and the Rebel Rousers before I joined the Searchers. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the music that most of the groups were playing in Liverpool was very much aligned to the stuff we were learning. It was American R&B rather than the pretty boy Cliff Richard and Bobby V and all that kind of light, frothy pop, which is great, but this was a much harder edge thing. In fact, what we were doing was we were trying to sound like all the Black Motown artists, and because you're not a Black Motown artist, you sound like something completely different, but it definitely had a raw edge. Just amazing that it took over in the way it did.
It is. It was incredible. You've had your bad times like so many other bands with disputes with past members and court cases. I mean, that is all now firmly behind you, I take it.
It's one of the sad things. I mean, because groups are very much like marriages, you know. You're in each other's company all the time, then you kind of like start niggling with each other, you fall out, your personalities end up clashing, and a divorce comes, and sometimes divorces aren't nice. In our case, it was because there was a dispute over the name, mainly, and which was going to be a rivalry on the circuit. So, and then it was the abuse of the name. So these things happen, and wasn't one of the nicest parts of my life. But it was one of those things that you couldn't avoid doing. You know, we never ever wanted to go to court. But
no, of course not.
The end, it was you had to fight your corner or be trodden down. It was a matter of you had to make your stand.
But you've been running now 54 years virtually of non-stop touring, one of the longest touring bands in the world, I think. And you've been everywhere, haven't you? In front of royalty, you've played Vegas, and you've toured the world. You must really still enjoy it.
Well, it's great. Yeah, we probably enjoy it more now than we've ever done since our since the hit days. I mean, they were enjoyable because you were teenagers seeing the world and getting screamed at all the time. But now we're in charge of our own destiny, really, and we have this all-evening act worked out where we go through the whole history of the band. We have an audience that specifically come into a theatre to see us. And it's a really magical night of communication between us and them out there, and we're all in there for the same thing, looking back on those absolutely brilliant times.
I guess you still, the screaming's gone, the screaming's more refined these days, but the audience can really look forward to a really good show, and you're coming to the Queen's Theatre on Monday the 18th. Have you been to the Queen's before?
Lots of times, yes. I can't remember how many times, but over the years, we must have been done it probably about a dozen times. Yeah, it's a nice place. I love it.
Well, I'm sure the audience is going to have a great show.
And it always does well for us. I remember that the last time we played, it was absolutely, totally, 100% sold out.
Well, that's what we're looking for. And if people aren't sure which one you are, you're the good-looking one, aren't you?
Sorry?
You're the good-looking one in the band, if people are unsure which one Frank Allen is.
There are people who would dispute that. God, you've set me off now. Yes, well, anyway, you're very kind to an old man.
Well, I'm just delighted that people still get the opportunity to see a band such as The Searchers. I must tell you, the first time I came across The Searchers was, and this is quite shameful, as a small boy, was through a Baron Knights record when they did Boots
Call
and
groups.
Call Up the Groups. Yeah, and that's I thought, oh, I quite like that sound. And then I went and then found out who The Searchers were. So that was my link.
12 years for about 1,000 years or something.
Exactly. I think that was 1966 or 67, I think.
Was it really? Yeah.
A long
time. 64, I would think.
Maybe. Could be.
I think it's 64, because Needles and Pins was in the charts in February 64, and they were pretty current with their stuff, the Baron Knights. You know, they got things out very quickly, so they would have done that about the middle of that year.
Frank, I wish you great success with it. You've got a huge tour coming up this year, haven't you? You're just about everywhere,
yep.
And I hope it really, really goes well. And we'll catch up at Hornchurch at the Queen's on Monday the 18th. And thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks for letting me be on the show, and look forward to seeing everyone there. And if you haven't been before, I think you're going to have a great evening.
Frank, thank you very much indeed.
Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.